And Ellen, there's some news breaking on the UBS case. You want to take it?
Yeah, that's right. Just in the past hour or so, we found out that the former UBS banker Bradley Birkenfeld was sentenced to 40 months in prison for conspiring to help Americans evade taxes. You might recall his name because he played a key role in showing prosecutors and Senate investigators how UBS had helped Americans hide money.
We turn now to a major development in the case of a banking whistleblower. Former UBS AG banker Brad Birkenfeld first reported in 2007 that he and his colleagues had encouraged rich Americans to store more than $20 billion in offshore Swiss bank accounts and cheat the IRS. After he came forward, he was convicted of conspiracy and sentenced to prison. Well, he was released from prison in August, and on Tuesday, the IRS vindicated his actions with a $104 million award under the IRS whistleblower program.
Again, my name is Brad Birkenfeld, and I was the UBS whistleblower that exposed the largest and longest tax fraud in the world, hands down. I worked at UBS as a director in Geneva, Switzerland, and I worked on the U.S. desk that we managed 19,000 clients and $20 billion in assets. This was offshore money, undeclared money. And what had happened was, you have to understand Geneva, Switzerland, where they have bank secrecy. Bank secrecy is the foundation of why people put their money there. You hide it from a spouse, you hide it from a business partner, you hide it from the IRS. And Swiss bank secrecy came into play back in 1934 when the Third Reich came to power. Adolf Hitler had ordered anyone to be shot who moved money outside of Germany because they needed it for the war effort. After World War I, they had huge reparations, and certainly they were preparing for, unfortunately, World War II. The Swiss countered with Swiss bank secrecy in Article 47 in 1934. Why is that important? Because again, that was the foundation of why people put their money in Switzerland to hide it. Billions and billions of dollars were hidden around the globe. So Switzerland was the conduit for this illegal business.
It typically doesn't require a lot of machination by the individual. There are salespeople for these different banks, some of them, as we know from the UBS case, who ply the U.S. Rather vigorously looking for customers. And once they find a customer, they set up all the necessary machinery to move the money out of the country and hide it offshore. UBS got caught, and we saw the machinery in operation.
As an American working at UBS in Switzerland, Bradley Birkenfeld held the keys to dozens of undeclared bank accounts and enough information to crack open the confidential relationship between Swiss bankers and U.S. tax evaders. He blew the whistle on the conspiracy. He went to prison for his part in the scheme. And eventually, he received a record $104 million from the IRS for coming forward.
So was it worth it at the end of the day?
Oh, I'd do it all over again.
You do jail again?
Yeah, sure.
Lose your career?
Absolutely.
$104 million is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but it's having the courage to come forward and do something so historic. No one ever came forward and talked about Swiss bank secrecy, ever.
Boston native Bradley Birkenfeld says he became intrigued by international banking while working in finance in Massachusetts, but he never expected to become embroiled in the biggest tax evasion scandal in history. He moved to Switzerland in 1994 to earn his MBA and settled in Geneva, where he managed to get a job first at Credit Suisse, then Barclays, and finally UBS, one of few Americans allowed into the mysterious world of Swiss banking.
Stephen Cohen, co-counsel for UBS whistleblower Brad Birkenfeld.
When the Justice Department prosecuted Bradley Birkenfeld, in one of the most absurd and misguided efforts, they took an asset, a person who turned in the keys to the kingdom, the first whistleblower to expose exactly how illegal Swiss banking worked and illegal offshore banking was working across the world, and instead of using him, they persecuted him.
The way he describes it, the job sounds like part personal assistant, part spy, complete with encrypted computers and underground vaults filled with untold riches.
Bars of gold.
Physical, yes, absolutely.
The stuff about how to break the law, they're training you on. And then the memo about how to follow the law is buried in the internet somewhere?
That's right.
And no one trains you on?
No.
And this is what made you decide to become a whistleblower?
That is correct.
because you thought they're going to throw you under the bus.
Myself and my colleagues and the clients and the shareholders.
And so you threw them under the bus.
That is correct.
So if you feel as though you can just break the law and write a check, well, it will continue. And Wells Fargo is a perfect example of that as a present-day story.
In the criminal case, they paid a $780 million penalty, which is really underfined compared to how much ill-gotten gains they received during the course of this. And in terms of the names, settling for 4,500 names when you originally sought 52,000, I don't think settling for fewer than 10% is a good deal. So, of the 52,000 minus how many ever came forward, somewhere between 3,000 and 7,000, that many people are still running around with no penalty or consequence whatsoever.
At that point, I was fed up with the whole system and had resigned, so I went to my own government, the U.S. government, thinking that they would be interested in this information. Unfortunately for me, I was the only banker in the world to go to jail in the financial crisis. The Department of Justice attacked me because I was actually educating them on something they should have uncovered. So the corruption within the Department of Justice, the corruption within, at the time, the Obama administration, the Treasury Department, the State Department, the White House, is ingrained. And you may say, well, you just have an axe to grind or something like this. No, I've got proof for it, and when you read my book, you'll see that it's all documented there. President Obama was actually taking millions of dollars from UBS for his campaign. At the same time, they were under a criminal investigation. Eric Holder, the attorney general, was representing UBS in private practice, so he was conflicted.
I don't got no type. Nah. Bad bitches is the only thing that I like.
If you go down a little further in this document, you'll see that right here at the end of this, it talks about bringing to the point a political solution to the UBS case.
And there is an end in sight for the UBS tax evasion case. First, a developing story we've been following for you. The settlement between UBS and the U.S. government over tax evasion could be signed tomorrow.
Now, the really surprising part of this story is that while all of this was going on, the Federal Reserve bailed out UBS. UBS was in the hole $86 billion on bad dealing in U.S. mortgage-backed securities. UBS went to the Swiss National Bank and said, unless we get a big pile of money, in this case, I think it was about $50 billion or more, we're out of business. The Swiss then came to the Fed and said, we need dollars to take care of UBS's problem. And the Fed said, no problem, we'll give you a swap line unlimited at the current exchange rate. And that bailed out UBS. No conditions, no turnover of 52,000 names. It's here we are, one central bank to another. At the minimum, they should have said, 52,000 names, or you guys can go to the dustbin of banking history.
First and foremost, if the DOJ was such super sleuths, why didn't they uncover the largest tax fraud that was operated under their nose for the last five decades? That's the first question. The second question was, when I brought it to their attention and gave it to them on a platinum platter, they still screwed it up and covered it up. And the third reason is, why was it that they only got 4,700 names out of 19,000 when they should have gotten all 19,000 names? Why didn't they find the bank properly to make the U.S. taxpayer whole? Why did they let the kingpin, Martin Lischte, my big boss, have a secret non-prosecution agreement and then violated it, it's a felony, by pleading the Fifth Amendment in the Senate and then letting him go back to Switzerland a free man? you can see there's a litany of illegal acts committed by the Department of Justice, and they should be held accountable. And I've been saying year after year, the Senate should hold hearings and have me come in and testify so the American people can be represented by the whistleblower.
Bradley Birkenfeld went from Swiss banker to the uber wealthy to whistleblower to prison inmate. But his tale didn't end there. There's one more big twist.
After serving 2.5 years in prison for his role as a Swiss banker hiding millions of dollars for wealthy American clients, Bradley Birkenfeld moved into a small rental home in New Hampshire with no immediate plans for the future. About a month later, he got some life-changing news.
My attorneys informed me that the IRS whistleblowing office was going to grant me a very large reward.
For $104 million.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had taken taxes off the top.
You got to pay your taxes.
I paid my taxes.
You learned that.
Probably the largest taxpayer around, yes.
Well, we'll look forward. He also became the highest paid whistleblower in U.S. history.
It was vindication. And what made me even more happy was it vindicated me against the Department of Justice.
You don't think they were happy to write you that check?
Oh, they're pissed. And I'm pleased.
But Birkenfeld's still angry. He's on a quest, he said, to force the Justice Department to explain why it was so aggressive in prosecuting him, but let nearly everyone else involved in the scam get off with light penalties or none at all.
The DOJ is aiding and abetting a crime. These people have not been indicted. Why?
That's tough stuff to say the DOJ is aiding and abetting a crime.
Put me in front of the Senate, I'll raise my right hand and tell you again.
And that means that our government is for sale. It bothers me now that you think you can buy your way out of a situation, and that means that our government is for sale.
That confirms there has been an understanding between the Swiss government and our government over the ongoing litigation concerning UBS.
What do you have to say about the story about UBS, and that while you were Secretary of State, you went over there for some consultations, and they were in a bind, and then there was a solution, kind of, and then after that there were kind of markedly more donations and work with your with the Clinton Foundation. Just some of the concerns about the overlapping of your political and private lives.
Well, I would say that any implication that is attempting to be made along those lines is categorically false. And I worked hard as our nation's first diplomat to solve problems, to work with my colleagues in government. I remember the government-wide efforts to try to pursue America's interests with respect to Swiss banks, and there was a resolution to that, and it continued to be the subject of diplomacy and law enforcement interest. This is just the kind of unfortunate claim or charge that you see in campaigns. And all I can do is tell you there's no basis to it. I am proud of the work I did as Secretary of State, and I always put our nation's interests first. And I believe we did a good job in my 4 years.
I don't got no type. Nah. Bad bitches is the only thing that I like.
So we had 19,000 clients at UBS, and they negotiated. Secretary of State Clinton negotiated for 4,700. That's 25%. So that's a 75% failure rate. I think we would all agree if anyone fails at their job 75%, they'd be out of a job. So why did she do it? Who picked the 4,700 names? How did that happen? Who did it? Did she pick them? Did UBS, the one who'd been breaking the law, pick them?
Significant story here from the Wall Street Journal today. The Journal reporting that back in 2009 as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton weighed in on the sensitive diplomatic negotiations over just how much UBS would be forced to turn over in terms of information on illegal U.S. account holders at the Swiss bank. The Journal also reporting that in the wake of Hillary Clinton's decision to do that, UBS ramped up its contributions to the Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton Foundation and also paid Bill Clinton $1.5 million for a series of question and answer sessions with the UBS executive.
I don't got no type.
Nah.
Bad bitches is the only thing that I like.
Quite frankly, President Obama should have been impeached, because not only did he violate his oath to the U.S. Constitution, which we hold dear to our hearts as Americans, but he was on the committee that was investigating UBS for their criminal conduct, but never appeared for one of the hearings. That was the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. But at the same time, he failed to show up for those hearings. He was accepting millions of dollars in political contributions from UBS, the bank that was under criminal investigation. Secondly, Hillary Clinton was appointed by President Obama to become Secretary of State, and she got involved in this international criminal investigation, which she had no right in doing. And then she only got 4,700 names out of 19,000, and she was having secret Swiss meetings to settle the case politically. But all these other banks walk away, and all of the directors and executives at UBS walk away, but you got the whistleblower? I mean, this is insanity. It just shows you how idiotic the Department of Justice looks.
And the irony of all of this is, they made more money over the number of years involved than they paid in fines. So they were net ahead on having run this business.
The bank was not fined properly. They did not get all the names properly. And they let the kingpins walk away.
Well, according to both the IRS and the Justice Department, a whistleblower named Bradley Birkenfeld, who had been a UBS banker, was the entire reason they had any case whatsoever against UBS. He had been a banker with UBS for about 4 or 5 years. He complained internally through UBS's whistleblower policy about the problems, and they did a sham investigation, and he then came forward voluntarily to various different federal agencies, including both Congress, Justice Department, IRS, and SEC.
My eyes are bleeding. I'm sick. I'm still not eating. Got nothing to believe in. I'm not so lucky.
And Jack, what do you think the effect of the decision of prosecuting only, in jailing only Bradley Birkenfeld will be on the incentives to come forward?
Well, this is a serious question from this perspective. I don't object to the jailing of Birkenfeld because clearly he was in this business for quite a while before he found the conscience. And he handled a lot of money for a lot of rich people. And as you said, smuggled diamonds, which is a pretty good index that he wasn't exactly one of nature's noblemen. On the other hand, a number of the people who were caught in the UBS case for not paying taxes have gotten off with home sentences and rather light touch treatment. And the question really is, should they? These are people who, in my judgment, deserve much harsher sentences.
The behind-the-scenes negotiations in Switzerland between Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and her counterpart, Calmy Ray. When the DOJ demanded that I give them the names, I refused because I said I live in Switzerland where I would go to jail. The same excuse UBS used in the Senate hearings. But when I said it, long before they said it, I'm the bad guy. I said, I can't do it, and I'm not giving them the names. I said, give me a subpoena. They said, we won't do it. I said, fuck you. That's what I said to them. And I went to the Senate and I asked my attorneys, get me a subpoena at the Senate. Because if I give up one name, I go to jail in Switzerland, where I lived at the time. So this was very, very important. And I was trying to follow the law of where I resided. This was very important. So anyways, I go to the Senate, I give them all the information, the names and everything. Of course, they share it with a detail that was working for the IRS, who obviously shared it with DOJ, took my information and indicted me. Could I have fought it? That's another issue. So to this day, the U.S. Senate will not give me my Senate testimony. Not your testimony, mine. 10 years later, I still don't get my own testimony that proves I was right and the prosecutor, Kevin Downing, lied to a federal judge in Florida. He lied. That's a fact. Because I didn't withhold any names. And my attorneys went in and read the testimony and said, yeah, he gave the name up long before he was ever, my client was pled guilty. This is what tells you about our government, how corrupt these guys are. So they twisted and turned it around to make it look like I'm the bad guy. Well, if you just give me the subpoena, you could have had the names. And it's in the Senate testimony, which I can't get a copy of. Great justice. So that's one part of it that's very, very bad. So I think the Senate never called me to testify in open public because they knew. They'd start hearing what I'm saying now. And it's very dangerous for them to have me there. They never called me for the Vile case in Florida. I was the one who identified him. That's why they had him extradited from Italy. But never called me, and he was acquitted. And I have proof that he was breaking the law in this country and in France. Crazy. Yeah. That's just one example of how I think the Senate was unfair to me. Never called me to testify in public. My boss testified, but he pled the fifth. And he had a secret non-prosecution agreement. The second thing is, why doesn't the Senate hold hearings on Kevin Downing and how he misled Congress? He had an oath to the U.S. Constitution and he violated it. And call me as a witness to testify under oath in public. That's what I'd like to see happen. Not just for me, but for any other whistleblower who comes forward, as well as all of you and every American taxpayer who needs to deserves to know the truth and hold these people accountable, because they're out there still doing this. That's the problem. If you don't stop it, it'll continue.
And so what about the other people who were involved in this scheme at UBS?
As far as I can tell, everyone has gone scot-free. Martin Lischke, who was a UBS kingpin, is back in Switzerland. He was actually here in U.S. detention for 4 months, pled the fifth in front of the Senate, and then was released back to Switzerland. His boss, Raoul Weil, I believe has been convicted or at least indicted and is a fugitive from justice back in Switzerland or Liechtenstein. All the other major players at UBS have suffered no consequence. Because of the settlement you mentioned earlier, the bank itself has avoided criminal liability. And so far, in terms of UBS clients who have been sentenced, nobody has been sentenced to jail but for the whistleblower, Bradley Birkenfeld, who's an American. I don't got no type. Nah.
Bad bitches is the only thing that I like. And in the case with UBS, the bank was not fined properly, they did not get all the names properly, and they let the kingpins walk away. Again, you got cheated. As well, they continued to do the illegal business. No one lost their job, no one went to jail. Write a check, no problem.